This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Kim Grinnells of Dogman.com with Scott Eklund. Practice number six, Saturday afternoon on the shores of Lake Washington. Probably the best weather day we've had since we started spring practice. But most of the time we're in the shade and the wind still kicks up. So even though the temperature says it's 61 degrees, we're not sitting where we're sitting. It's not 61 degrees, Scott.
No, I mean, we were up in the stands and we're in the shade most of the time. So I'm not going to complain too much. It wasn't too bad at all today. Very little in the way of wind. The coaches basically spent all day on the Husky Stadium field, which was nice because we weren't trying to go back and forth and everything. And saw a lot of 11-on-11 sessions. And again, for the second straight practice, a lot of big plays by the offense.
Yeah, day practice number 6 out of 15. One of those includes the spring event on Friday.
May 3rd.
Yeah, and another one is a practice that will be closed. So we're about halfway. We have about 7 more practices left that we will be able to cover.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it 6 or 7?
It's 7, well, it's, I think. Well, it's 8 technically if you're talking about the spring game.
But, yeah. Yeah, so just what's interesting is, you know, they've got 3 quarterbacks that are getting 95% of the work out there, Scott.
Yeah, and really it's 2 that are getting like 85% of that with Damon Williams and Will Rogers. And then you have Demarcius Davis, who is getting, you know, 10% of the reps when in the full team sessions. But no, it's really kind of interesting to watch how they're doing things. And I'll tell you what. I loved Sam Heward. Jake Browning looked great when he came in. I don't remember a lot of great freshmen coming in other than those guys in the time that I've covered the team. You know, there was Matt Tuiasosopo. That would have been pretty good. He never showed up. There were a lot of good quarterback. Jake Locker was a good quarterback, but not really. He was more of an athlete playing quarterback at that point in time in his life. So I cannot remember a better passing quarterback as a freshman than Damon Williams.
When you talk about better passing, are you talking arm talent?
I'm talking placement of the ball. Not looking like he gets rattled too much when the defense does what they do, and he's getting pressured and things like that. He just there's just something, that it factor, that it's really hard to explain what it is, but he's just got that it factor where When the play breaks down, Kim, I said it to you, and you said, "Yeah, you agreed." He just took off, and when the play, there was nothing there. He went through 2 or 3 reads, and the play wasn't there, and he just scampered right up the middle and for a 15-20 yard gain.
That's why, you know, I'm kind of interested to see what he does when the live bullets start flying, because you know, the one thing when we talk about Russell Wilson, and I've talked about this before, Russell had that really high release. So at 5'10", 5'11", you know, he threw like a much taller quarterback.
Yeah, like 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah, you know, but when you take a look at what Damon Williams is doing, he's dropping down a little bit. Mm-hmm. And when you're 5'9", 5'10", like he is, and you're dropping down a little bit, it'll be interesting to see how that works with live defenses.
Yeah, it will. You know, there's some things, if you watch, though, guys like Patrick Mahomes, and granted, he's the best quarterback in the game right now, so, you know, it's hard to compare that, but you watch Patrick Mahomes, you watch some of these other guys throw the ball, they're using different arm angles than what we were used to in the time that we started covering things, because you've got shorter quarterbacks playing now, and so the windows that they can use are a little bit different, and the way that the offenses are geared nowadays is to allow these guys to get off platform and use different arm angles, and I think Damon Williams is going to benefit from that a lot. Now, will it be detrimental to him? Who knows? We haven't seen many tipped passes, though.
No.
I mean, that I can remember. I don't remember seeing, you know, because there were times when there would just be tip pass, you know, all that different stuff. And I don't remember seeing very many of those.
We're not seeing him turn the ball over either.
He is not. I mean, there was one.
He should still be in high school,
Scott. The day that you were not here, the one day that you've missed, he did throw two picks. But, you know, those were a couple of them. One of them was a really good play by the defensive guy, and another one was just a bad throw. But for the most part, no, you're right, Kim. He is not turning the ball over. Today we saw an interception, but it was off of Will Rogers, who didn't seem to be on the same page as Keith Reynolds, the wide receiver. But then there was a strip of Denzel Boston at near the goal line on a play. But other than that, you know, it was a pretty clean day from the offense from a turnover standpoint. And back to your original note, Damon Williams just isn't turning the ball over like a lot of freshmen do.
Yeah, it's kind of what we're seeing is that when Jed Fish got announced and, you know, the portal started getting really active with Jonah Coleman joining and Prysock joining, and then you know, we'd heard some rumblings that the staff did not go after Fifita down at Arizona really hard. And we were just kind of rolling our eyes like I think everybody was. Didn't take long for us to take a look at Damon Williams, because if you had to choose one right now, you're going to take Nolan Fifita or
Noah Fifita, yeah.
Or Damon Williams.
The one thing I'll say about Noah Fifita is he's probably, because of his experience last year, he's probably more ready to take on Big Ten schedule as a quarterback, and that's why you would look toward him. But if you're talking about upside, there is no question that Damon Williams has a much higher upside.
And they didn't need another quarterback. No, they've got Will Rogers out there.
Will Rogers, who I still think he looks really good. He just looks savvy. He looks in control. He doesn't look like he gets flustered very much. The difference is arm strength, I think. He doesn't have a weak arm by any stretch of the imagination. No. But when we've seen Michael Penix the last 2 years, and heck, Dylan Morris even before that, you know, when he came in, he could really gun the ball too. And then you see Will Rogers throw the ball. The arm strength just isn't the same as those guys. And then,
Jake Browning arm?
No, he's got a stronger arm than Jake Browning. Jake Browning, I love Jake Browning, but his forte was placement and touch. His forte was not gunning the ball 60 yards down the field.
And one more thing, you know, with Damon Williams over Nolan Fifita?
Noah
Fifita. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm sorry. He's cheaper.
Yeah, probably a lot cheaper, yeah.
Yeah, salary cap, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, getting back to Will Rogers, he looks fine out there. Mm-hmm. He's not doing things to dazzle you, but, you know, he looks like a middle-of-the-road conference quarterback.
Yeah. And, I mean, do the Huskies need more than that? I mean, you always want more, but you need a guy who's not going to get – I mean, he's got 3 or 4 years of starting experience against SEC teams. And his team, Mississippi State, from a talent and physicality standpoint, was way overmatched in probably two-thirds of the games that he played in. And so – you know, for Will Rogers, the other ironic thing is, who did Arizona play the last 2 years?
Yeah,
Mississippi State. So the coaches, you know, Coach Fish got a great bird's eye view of what Will Rogers could do, not only in person, but during film study, you know, as they were preparing for that game. So real interesting to watch how he fits into Washington's offense. Because remember, this is a guy who had, until last year, he had never played in a pro-style system, and he did struggle some. Now, some of that was also because of the lack of talent that Mississippi State had and everything like that. So I'll be real interested to see what happens with him in this offense. Would it surprise you? Asked me during practice, does Damon Williams play in more than 4 games? Does he burn his red shirt, essentially, is what you were asking. And I think there's no question in my mind that he is going to play a lot this year, not because they need him to play, but because they want to have him ready to go for 2025.
Yeah. I think that Washington has a wide receiver number one right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you had to break it down, I think it's Denzel Boston and then maybe another group of four or five guys before you really start going down. I mean, he is so good at what he's doing right now. You know, as much as I really like Jeremiah Hunter, I think he's going to be really good. I think Rasheed Williams is going to be really good. I think Giles Jackson is perfect as a slot, middle of the field kind of guy. But Denzel Boston's the one who's making plays down the field. He had 2 30-yard-plus touchdown catches today. He had a lot that where he would beat Ephesians Prysock, who's a all-conference kind of a, you know, type of a cornerback. He beat him on the inside and everything like that. I have been nothing. I knew Denzel Boston could be a really effective receiver at the college level. I didn't think I'd see this.
Yeah, Jeremiah Hunter, I thought he had a really good day as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just a little bit of a scouting report. He's not a blazer.
No.
But, you talk about Rome catching balls under contact.
Yeah.
This guy does it as well.
Yeah, he does. We saw Jeremiah Hunter have a nice catch in a contested catch in coverage as well. So, these guys are going to help out the quarterbacks a lot.
Yeah, no, good to see. Running back, it's pretty obvious that Jonah Coleman is number one. Cam Davis is not yet taking contact.
But he's doing all the other drills.
Yeah.
Just not doing 11 on 11. So.
Daniel Nata is the next guy up. And
you think?
Well, Sam Adams isn't. It doesn't look like he's participating.
No,
much either.
But I've seen a lot more of Adam Muhammad,
yeah.
the freshman out. And you like him a lot.
Just looking at him.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be a special player down the road. What was funny was...
He reminds me of the first time I laid eyes on Richard Newton.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Bigger, like a taller version of Richard Newton.
Yeah.
But, kind of has that same frame, same running style. He's not a guy who's going to make you miss. That's the, you know, people are used to, you know, when we got used to things, we got used to Myles Gaskin, right? Who wasn't a guy who was going to run over you. He was just going to make you miss in traffic and everything like that. But then Wayne Talapapa comes in. Then Dylan Johnson comes in. Those are two physical running backs who were able to break tackles. The guys that they have brought in are in that same mold where they're going to break tackles. They're not going to make guys miss. So, I don't think Scotty Graham is really looking for a specific guy when I say, of course he'd like his guys to make guys miss, but he wants guys who are going to cause defenders to bounce off of them to, when they arm tackle you, they're not going to bring you down. And he has those three runners right now. I think we're going to see a fourth one soon. And Caleb Williams, Cameron Davis, I think when he's back fully healthy, he'll be that guy too.
Yeah, kind of the most interesting moment today was they were in full pads today, and all the offensive linemen are wearing two knee braces. But, you know, when they were kind of doing a 7-on-7 thing, we saw guard Memelar out there snapping the football. He wasn't taking any contact, but he mm-hmm. was definitely out there.
Yeah, because it was 7-on-7, so yeah. There was no line in front of him, but yeah.
But that's the first time we'd seen him.
Yeah, doing anything other than working on the side.
That's the first time we've seen him on the field.
Yeah, this spring, yes, yeah. Correct. So, he looked good snapping the ball. Granted, he didn't have anybody in front of him. He's not trying to make a reach block or anything like that. But looked good snapping the ball. Landon Hatchett continued to snap in some 7-on-7 and just some... install work as well. So
yeah, and on the live drills, running the football, it's a mess.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
Yeah, this offensive line, this isn't the offensive line we're going to see this season, but if it is,
they'll win two games. I mean, no offense. Look, I think the guys that they're throwing out here right now, if we could fast forward 2 years.
Yeah.
They would be just fine, if not really good.
Yeah.
These guys aren't ready.
No, they're not ready.
They're not even remotely close to ready.
Because this defensive line isn't this good to make it look this bad.
I think the defensive line has a little more talent than some people are giving them credit for. But you're right, Kim. This defensive line is not – I would say it's on par, maybe just a step behind what they had last year. I think we're going to add some things, some key pieces here over the next couple weeks to the, from the portal. But the group that they're throwing out there, Jacob Bandis, Sebastian Valdez, the Parker brothers, trying to think, Elenius Davis, those guys, they're just fine, but they're not anything world-beating special.
One-word answer, right? Yeah. One-word answer. If the offensive line we saw today was the offense, is the offensive line that starts against Michigan.
Uh-huh. What?
What? What would you expect?
You said it was a one-word answer.
What's your one-word answer to that?
I can't curse, so let's just say screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah, the offense would be screwed.
Yeah.
There's just these guys are not ready. Soane Fa'asolo is playing left tackle. Drew Azzopardi at right tackle. You've got Zach Henning in the middle at center, and then you've got two true freshmen. I mean, those are all – at least Fa'asolo and Henning are redshirt freshmen, and Azzopardi's a redshirt sophomore. But the two guards are true freshmen. That's Pocky Finau and Michael Watkins. They're just not ready. You can look at them physically and say, okay, they, you know, physically could probably hold up, but they get fooled on things. They don't understand all the stuff that's going
on. It's boys against men.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, if you ever watched The Blind Side. You remember when Michael Orr is trying to understand stunts and all that stuff? It's kind of like that. It's just these guys are still figuring it all out. I think they'll get better. I think in 2 years they will be a pretty good group. But right now they're just not ready.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Defensive side of the ball, anything jump out?
Jordan Shaw with another pick. I think he's had – Chris made the comment that he thought up to that point, which is 5 practices on Tuesday – or on Thursday – he said that he believes Jordan Shaw had an interception in every practice. Well, if that's true, then he's continued that trend. There was a, you know, Keith Reynolds basically broke off a route on a, he was curling back in. And I think Will Rogers thought he was going to move inside a little bit more.
Or keep going.
And he didn't. And Will Rogers threw the ball and went right to Jordan Shaw. So Jordan Shaw continues to look good. Kim. John Richardson, you could hear he was not real thrilled with the way. I'm pretty sure it was Ephesians Prysock that he was getting on.
Oh yeah.
You know, that's his old position coach from Arizona. He understands the motivation that Ephesians needs. He's also expecting that guy to be a leader on the defense, and the way he was playing was not great. I got the sense, I don't know exactly what they were talking about, but I got the sense it was a technique standpoint, like, because he shut something down, and John, you and I are up in the stands 20 rows on the 50-yard line, and we can hear every word that John Richardson is saying, and it's, you should be doing that every time. Granted, there's some more colorful language being spoken in that, but that's the gist of what he said, and so... it wasn't Ephesians Prysock's best practice, that I've seen him, probably his worst practice that I've seen of him. You know, we saw Leroy, Bryant continuing to get snaps as the second team, corner. He got beat a few times by Jeremiah Hunter. for a couple touchdowns. One thing to note is that Dyson McCutcheon got a lot of reps with the first team over the slot as a slot corner. So that was a little interesting to see. There were some guys on the defensive side who got a little dinged up. So that's something to keep an eye on. I have a feeling one probably might be done for spring. I'm not saying it's a long-term injury, but they might just be done for spring.
And they don't want us reporting.
Yeah, we're not going to report on injuries and stuff, so that's why I'm being a little more vague than I normally would be. But, there's a guy who might be done for spring. From what I saw when he was walking off, it did not look good to me. But it didn't look like it was something that's going to cause him to miss the season. But it's not something that looked that good.
Elijah Jackson not suited up today. Didn't look like anything serious.
No, didn't look like it. Might have just got might have been in a concussion protocol for all we know. Devin Bryant continues to be on the side. So does Anthony James, Caleb Presley. Those guys are all doing stuff on the side. The other one that was a little bit of a or Maurice Himes continues to be there too. Vincent Holmes, who had moved from safety to wide receiver, now is back at safety. He did safety last practice. He was standing on the sidelines too, not dressed out for practice. So that's just some stuff to keep an eye on.
Another celebrity coach on the sidelines today and out on the field.
Well, Jack Del Rio was here for the second straight practice. He was here on Thursday. And then 49ers GM John Lynch was in the house as well as their offensive line coach, which I think is Christian Forrester or something like that. They were on site, and you said you're pretty sure you know why they were here.
I'm pretty sure because I saw Roger Rosengarten came out when we were doing post-game interviews and was warming up, and probably about 15 minutes later I walked out there, and Roger was obviously working out with about five guys around him. So
I did see a Seahawks scout there too today. So maybe he's doing a workout for the Seahawks too.
Yeah, I'd be willing to bet that was San Francisco working out Roger. Mel Kiper in his last mock draft had Roger going to San Francisco in the first round.
Yeah. So and if right now it's looking more and more like Romo Dunze, Troy Fautanu, and Michael Penix are going to go in the first round. Michael Penix probably is more deserving of a second round draft choice, but quarterbacks are overdrafted. They're picked way higher than their value because everybody needs a quarterback. And so maybe if a team says, I like this guy, I'm not willing to wait to second round, I'm going to trade up and get into the first. A lot of people think that Michael Penix is going to go. That would be the most guys at three would be the most that they've ever had in the first round. But if Roger Rosengarten sneaks in there, that would be four. And that would, I don't know if that will ever be eclipsed by the Washington Huskies.
Yeah, and I think Michael's going to go 12 to 15.
Somewhere in there.
I think the Raiders could take
They've him. Worked him out. They brought him in, all that. Yeah.
I would take Michael Penix over J.J. McCarthy in a heartbeat.
I would take him over Bo Nix. I would take him over, honestly, I might even take him over Drake May.
Yeah.
And nobody realistically is taking Michael Penix over Drake May. Drake May, Caleb Williams, and Jaden Daniels are probably your top three draft choices, period. Even though May and Daniels may not be worth it, mm-hmm. being picked that high, again, quarterbacks being overdrafted. But Michael Penix, to me, I don't see how he's any different than any of those guys other than Caleb Williams. And to be honest with you, I'm a big believer that Caleb Williams is a coach killer. But that's a topic for another time.
Yeah, McMillan, Polk, second and third round.
Probably second day guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Westover, Culp. Westover maybe get drafted late.
Yeah. His problem is he's been injured. Yeah. That's his big problem.
Devin Culp may have worked himself into being draftable.
When you're his size and you can run like he does, you got a chance.
Yeah. So
Eddie Ulofosio, I think, is a possibility. Mm-hmm. If someone really falls in love with Thule, he's like a seventh round possibility.
Right.
Trying to think who else is out there. There's a lot.
I think Jack Westover winds up with the Seahawks.
Okay. Well, we'll see.
We'll wait and see. So, all right. Well, let's wrap this up, Scott. It's Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, Saturday afternoon. You know, day six. We're almost halfway through spring ball. Not quite, but almost there. I like the way things are trending offensively. We're almost to Groundhog's Day, where basically it's kind of the same thing here and there. The only exciting parts are when you see the 7-on-7. And even then, a lot of times they're putting them in specific game situations rather than just letting them drive the field. So, you know, it is what it is. We're doing our best to let you guys know what's going on, but sometimes it's just kind of monotonous.
Apologize. You didn't touch bases on recruiting. Touch bases on
recruiting. Oh, okay. Real quick on recruiting. Saw Marcus Bryant, the offensive tackle from SMU, big dude. Saw John Mills, offensive lineman from St. Ignatius Preparatory Academy out of San Francisco. He was there. Christian Thatcher was there, linebacker. Prospect from Nevada. Raiden Vines Bright, wide receiver from IMG, the academy down in Florida. Bryant, Raiden Vines Bright, and Omar Khan are the three guys who are on their official visits this weekend. Omar Khan is a 2024 signee, but because of the coaching change, he can come up for an official visit, a second one. And so he's up here for that. And then, saw Rayshon Clark, and Charlie Kroll, two other 2024 signees. So there was a decent amount of people on the sidelines today, in addition to the, you know, Jack Del Rio, John Lynch, Chris Forster, those guys, and some of the other scouts. So overall, I thought it was a pretty lively practice. Just get ready for Monday, guys. Monday is going to be – next week is going to be one of the wildest weeks.
What day is going to be the wildest, Scott?
I think Monday, just because it's
– no.
What day?
Tuesday, because we got to cover practice.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah, so that'll be interesting. What could be even more interesting is Thursday the 27th. That's the first day of the NFL draft. We could be having – portal guys going into the portal and portal stuff happening, as well as the draft, as well as practice.
Will we see any members from this current Washington roster enter the portal on Monday?
I have heard from people inside the program that there is not, and no one is expected to leave, but they left open the possibility that somebody could choose to leave that they're not expecting. So you could see... You know, I was saying 5 to 10 I could think of off the top of my head who might be gone, but right now it doesn't sound like that's going to be the case.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that they enter the portal in the middle of spring ball.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, it doesn't help that Washington had to start theirs a little bit later because of the coaching staff and everything like that. So I don't think this will be an issue going forward, but this year it is going to be absolutely nuts.
Been a fun year.
Yeah.
Scott, it's like I've been going nonstop since the end of July.
2024 is, so far, has been one of the wildest years of me being a part of Dog Band.
2023. I mean, the end of 23.
Oh, I know. But what I mean is, okay, we didn't know that we were going to have all the upheaval that we had on when it changed over from 2023 to 2024,
yeah.
The upheaval happened 11 days after that. God, yeah. So, I mean, it's just, we didn't think that was going to happen. And so, yeah, it's crazy. It's all of it is absolutely nuts right now.
Yeah. Back again on Tuesday, just a couple basketball notes. I had a chance to talk a little bit with Coach Sprinkle. Most of it was off the record, and this isn't from Coach Sprinkle, but I'm expecting Tony Bland to join the staff probably as soon as Monday, maybe Tuesday. For those who don't know Tony, go ahead and Google that. And then Wesley Yates in the portal, they've got visitors coming in over the next week, 2 weeks. So it'll be interesting to see the roster. So everything's kind of up in the air with the basketball roster right now. My impressions of Coach Sprinkle, he's intense. He was more, I didn't expect him to be that intense. So interesting talking to Coach Sprinkle. Spoke with Will Conroy this morning. Excuse me. He actually interviewed for the Eastern job. Sounds like he was second in line on that. Dan Monson, the former Gonzaga, former Minnesota, former Long Beach coach, took the job at Eastern. So we'll see about that. So just keep it tuned here at Dogman.com. We will get you all hooked up. So for all of us at Dogman.com, I'm Kim Grenolds along with Scott Eklund. Go Dogs.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS. Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island, we got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday, starting at 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.